In this episode, discover the art of strategic storytelling.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery.
Hey-o! All right, all right. So I've got a topic for you that I just love. It is something that I'm very passionate about in multiple ways. I've been teaching you about storytelling on this podcast and how to wrap your stories into powerfully compelling videos that capture attention, close sales, and increase influence for your business. And really, few people explain it better than the queen of business storytelling. So let's go right now and talk with the queen herself. All right, I'm joined right now by Kendra Hall. She's the president and chief storyteller at Stellar Collective. Kendra, thanks for joining me.
So happy to be here, Todd.
Yeah, super cool. Kendra, I have had the honor of seeing you do your thing on stage at the National Speakers Association. I don't know what city we were in, Dallas. And a couple years ago,
Orlando.
It could have easily been. Who knows, right? So, like you, I go and I'm on stages all the time. All these cities become blurry. But Kendra, there is a power to storytelling. How did you get started in telling stories? And then we'll talk about how you applied that to businesses.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's interesting. I believe that sometimes you find a career and sometimes a career finds you. So I told my first story when I was 11 years old. It was an assignment for fifth grade. We were supposed to take a children's book and then go read it to a classroom full of third graders. So, you know, kind of your first attempt at public speaking. I like that they started that at a young age. But the problem for me was this lesson happened right at the end of the year. I grew up in Minnesota. I don't live there anymore. But right at the end of the school year means we're seeing the sun for the first time in 10 months. So that was distracting. And then as I walked into the classroom, it was right at the end of the day. So you've got third graders who are done. They're over it. They were climbing on the desks. The teacher had lost all control. And suddenly it was my job to stand up in front of them and read a book. So in a last minute decision, I put the book down and I just decided to tell the story. And it took three sentences and suddenly all the third graders were sitting nicely on the rug and I held them in the palm of my hand. And in that moment, like at 11 years old, I had the distinct suspicion that maybe I had just stumbled into something. Yeah. And that was the power of storytelling. Now, of course, I didn't quit, drop out of third grade. I should have gone pro right there, girl. I really should have. But, you know, through the rest of my childhood, through adolescence, in high school, then in college, I was telling stories more for entertainment, more as a hobby. I found my way to a national storytelling competition, which, yes, they have those. I won that competition. Then the prize was you got to tell at the National Storytelling Festival. So I did that, where I met a whole community of storytellers. Now, you have to realize that this is before the moth. This is before storytelling became a buzzword in business or in marketing. This was people telling stories to connect with other people. And that's really where I saw the value, where I learned the art. And then I was director of marketing, VP of sales, kept telling stories there. Realized that more people needed to know about the power of their story. And now as you know, I do a lot of speaking. I wrote a book and my whole world is still storytelling.
And the best salespeople and the best marketers in the world use stories situationally to reel people through their messaging. Before we dig a little deeper in there, Kendra, I grew up with severe learning disabilities, including attention disorders and dyslexia. And I was a very beaten up student. But my parents recognized my ability to tell stories and extracted me from the classroom environment. Anytime there would be a speaking competition on campus, and they pushed me into that. And I would always, like you, rise to the top, get to speak in front of the parents on the parent night when they would come in. And before I knew it, I was a talk show host in KTAR in Phoenix. And really speaking in front of people has become my primary way of communicating messages. But in the business context, and by the way, while I say this, in my head, I hear, thank God for the ability to tell stories, because it's been, like you, it's been my salvation over the years.
Right.
And I notice in business, the people that tell stories situationally based on their prospects, problems, their pain, their frustrations, are the ones that can move them through a customer journey or a decision journey at faster rates. Do you buy that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you think about those conversations, there's a lot of different things at play. There are the client, the prospective client comes into the conversation knowing what's going to happen. Like they're not fooled. They know that they're there to be sold, and with that comes the natural instinct to put up your barriers, whatever those barriers might be. So you have that going on. You have the element of trust. Like, do I like this person? Do I believe this person when they say the product does this, this, and this, or that they are committed to X, Y, and Z? Do they mean that? What is the essence of this person? And then lastly, of course, you're dealing with all the objections, whether it's price objections, whether it's there's a lot of competition, and then I mean ultimately whether or not you really are the solution for the problem that they're facing. And at the middle of all of that, all of these things that are potentially working against you, is a story. And a story can answer or make progress on all of those things at once. So, I mean, of course, like if you're trying to fast track this sales process, why not kill four birds with one story and be on your way?
Right, right. But I think the key is knowing what story to tell at what scenario. So yes, you can align at the beginning, like your stories, if I'm off track, please set me straight. If your stories miss the alignment at the beginning with what that prospect is looking for, then you've shot yourself in the foot. So starting the story at the appropriate spot is a bit of an art, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that whenever you're using a story as a strategy in sales, in marketing, it's easy to think that the story is about you, or even if the story isn't about you, that it is your decision right now to tell a story. But anytime you're telling a story in a business scenario, the most important thing is that the story has nothing to do with you. The story is all about the audience that you're telling that story to, what they're looking for, what they're hopeful for, what they're worried about. In any story you tell, especially in sales, your audience should be seeing themselves in that story. Maybe it's not a story about them, but it is in the way that you tell it.
Okay, and, so and they should way, be the yeah. hero of that story, or their peer that you're telling the story about should be aligned with that person you're trying to convince and convert. Like, is that right?
Yep, that's exactly right. And I actually stray away from the word hero because I think it adds a whole bunch of unnecessary baggage to the story. But really, one of the key components that your story needs to have is an identifiable character. There needs to be a person, or maybe two people, in the story as you're telling it. And just as you said, strategically, that character should share a lot of similarities, whether it's situational, whether it's emotional, with the person that you're telling that story to.
The emotion is essential, because if the audience doesn't have an emotional connection to the journey or the solution, then, or excuse me, the conflict, then they're also not going to be ready to buy at the end, because a buyer or a shopper that doesn't have an emotional connection will not buy.
Yeah.
So, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that one of the most incredible things that a story does is if you are including that emotion, and again, it doesn't have to be big, huge, It doesn't have to be the most tragic story where everybody's weeping. It doesn't have to be overcoming some insurmountable obstacle. It just needs to be real human emotion. So if you know what your potential clients, your potential customers feel on a day-to-day basis, the thing that they're working towards, the thing that they're worried about, the thing that keeps them up at night, then yes, that emotion needs to be included. It needs to be felt through the telling of your story, because we don't make decisions based on logic. We make decisions based on how we feel about it. We'll default to logic, but we make the decisions based on how we feel about it. And especially if you're trying to sell something that is intangible, if you're trying to, you know, I work a lot in financial services and there or insurance, and they're trying to sell something that, you know, hopefully you'll never have to actually feel or see or touch. So how do you sell the intangible? Will you put them in that very feeling place?
All right. Now, Kendra, I've been confronted with this question. I have never asked anybody about this, but I've stumbled into it several times as I'm speaking and I'm talking about stories, and I hear in my head the audience thinking, well, storytelling has a negative connotation in life too, because there's a whole lot of storytellers and not all of them are factual. How do we take the stories and make sure that they aren't storytelling in a fiction way, but yeah, these are real stories of case studies of success and transformation that businesses go through.
So this is just a fundamental belief. This is fundamentally who I am, but there is so much fact. There is so much real story in our everyday life, whether it is interaction with current customers, whether it's the stories about the people that we work with and their passion for the work that they do, whether it's their coming the obstacles to even make this product, this company possible, your story should always be true.
Right.
Because there's so much material. And story, here's the thing. It's hard to remember. It'll be hard for you to remember a lie. But the power of a story is your audience, your client, whoever it is that you're telling to, will remember it. So when they come back to you and they're like, oh, remember that story that you told about and you made it up, you got yourself a problem. So your story should always be true. I feel like that is a non-negotiable.
And if you tell the story right in a business context, people will retain that information. And I remember from 2 years ago seeing you speak, the story of the roller coaster and the bars coming over the shoulders vividly, because when you laid that in, you implanted it in my memory. So if I went back, I could tell that story kind of like I could just pick up the details like a six-pack container from Circle K and be able to package it and deliver it to other people because I have all the story plot points. And maybe it's because our brains remember and they process and they feel in story format, so we can transfer them easier. And so businesses that use this, is there, when you're advising a business on how to gather their stories so their salespeople can start using them, where do you get started?
Oh, that's a great question. So the first, there's two places to start. Number one is on the messages, and number two is on your audiences. So let's start with audiences. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but because the stories that you tell are solely and entirely for the benefit of your audience, it's really important that you know who they are, you know what their objections are, you know what they're hopeful for, which really is the job of any good salesperson. You probably already have that handled. The second piece of it, before you go looking for a story, is to be identifying the key messages that are in your presentation, that are in your conversation. What are the most important things that you need that person to know, to understand, to feel at a visceral level? And if they do, you will achieve the success that you're looking for. Once you have those two things nailed down, go forward with the messages aspect and say, okay, so what if one of the big promises that you or your company makes is customer service. Like no matter what time of day, no matter what country you're in, no matter what the holiday, someone will be there to answer your call. Someone will be there to walk you through. Then you need to go find those stories. Find a story of a time that it was a ridiculous hour of the night, or it was on Christmas Eve when somebody called and customer service was there. Find that story, craft that story, have that story ready. If you're doing a really technical demonstration of something, and it's really important that they understand that this feature right here is the feature that differentiates you from nobody else can do this thing, then you need to find a story that shows that feature making a difference in someone's life. Because if it is a life-changing feature, then it's not just something that the thing can do, but it means really big things for the people who use it. So what are the stories that show that feature in action? So message, audience, and then stories that show that message in audience, that message in action, such that it would relate to the audience's needs. Whew.
That's a lot, but it's really valuable, because if you don't have those pieces, then you're just telling stories for the sake of telling stories, and the value there is drastically diminished. Yep. Is there something about stories that hold attention differently than just talking about a product?
Yeah, there's research that shows that our brain actually releases different chemicals when we hear stories, one of which is cortisol. Cortisol increases focus and attention. And this is true. I mean, think about, like, I made the mistake a couple of weeks ago. I texted a girlfriend and said, oh my gosh, if I got a story for you, something funny happened, you know, whatever. But then, you know, I got on an airplane, and then I was racing to catch a connection, and then I got in late, and then I, you know, and then I, and before I knew it, it was 12 hours later before I had even had a chance to go back. And she had left me voicemails, which is weird because nobody leaves a voicemail anymore. She had texted, she had sent me messages on Instagram. Why? Because she wanted to hear that story. We want to hear stories, so that human instinct, that human desire to hear stories is working in your favor anytime you're using them in business.
And you cliffhangered her.
I did. Right? Accidentally. That was irresponsible on my part. I should have known better. I do that. That was a unique sense of torture.
That's so funny. You left an open loop, and it was unresolved, and it was burning at her brain. By the way, Kendra, can you tell us about your book? And for those that don't know, Kendra's book is Stories That Stick: How Storytelling Can Captivate Customers, Influence Audiences, and Transform Your Business. Kendra, tell us about the book.
Oh, well, I would love to tell you about the book. The book really came, there's a couple different reasons for writing this book. Number one, as we've mentioned here, I do a lot of keynote speaking. So I speak at conferences and events all over the country many, 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 many times a year. But of course, most of the time you get 45 minutes to an hour. And I talk very fast, but there was still always so much more that I wanted to say. So this book, Stories That Stick, really gives me an opportunity to go deeper, to expand wider, and to give a comprehensive perspective on not only why storytelling works, but the stories you need to be telling, the four key stories you need to be telling in business, and then also the research that we did that shows what are the four key components. So you can kind of make a checklist to make sure the components it needs to really make it a story, make it more compelling, make it more memorable. And then ultimately, you know, I think that I've been telling stories since I was 11. So however many decades that is, it's been a really long time. And it is exciting for me that storytelling has become such a buzzword in business, that so many people are saying how important storytelling is. But I feel like most of the conversation comes up short, and it leaves people feeling like they want to tell stories, or even thinking that they are telling stories, but they aren't. And so we're missing incredible opportunities to connect with our audiences, no matter what the reason or the purpose or the environment is. And I really wanted to fix that. So because the messages that I get now are, which I just... this is really what it's all about, is you've completely changed the way I think about my business after reading this book. And I'm excited to say that the sales keep rolling in, and it's going strong. And I hope it's one of those books that just becomes like that foundational piece of work for anyone who's looking to make their messages more compelling in business.
It's so cool. Talking about compelling, in my closing thought, Kendra, is after you got off the stage at the National Speakers Association, and I don't know if you heard this, but this is what the room felt. And the MC got up and she said, well, I think it's in front of like 2,000 to 3,000 people. She said, I think it's kind of obvious. The room collectively has a crush on Kendra Hall. And that's what happens in a business context when right. you can tell a powerful story, you can command attention, you can share and transfer emotions, you can deliver the facts that people need to check off their list. And before you know it, as a salesperson, your prospects have that same type of collective crush on you and your service, because now you've gone deep and developed something really special. Kendra Hall, thank you so much for delivering something very special on this podcast episode with me today.
Thank you so much, Todd. It was a pleasure to be here.
And for more information, go to KendraHall.com. That's KindraHall.com. Kendra, again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Always fun to have a rock star storyteller on the podcast with me. Now, if you want to figure out how to select the right topics for your business, and by the right topics, I think what we're really saying are the ones that are profitable, right? The ones that are going to generate revenue and move people through your sales process so they buy from you más rápido. And if you're struggling to figure out what topics are right for your business, well, the Wirebuzz strategy team, led by the big nerd Marcus Krieg, created a topic selection worksheet that you can get access to. It's actually free to the listeners of this podcast, and you can get access to it at wirebuzz.com/topics with an S. And if you want to know how to guarantee your videos generate a return on investment, which candidly, that's what this is all about. Like nobody's doing, well, maybe I should say, nobody I want to know is doing videos for the sake of just doing videos. I'm into it because I know about the power that video creates and how it holds people's attention and gets them to understand the real impact of transferring certainty and emotion and tempo, and brings people through the decision journey at better and faster and more compelling rates. And if you want to guarantee that your videos generate ROI, you know, return on investment, well, we created a 5-part web-based mini course where we teach our secrets to guaranteeing your videos generate ROI, and you could get access to it at wirebuzz.com/ROI. That's wirebuzz.com/ROI. And I'm going to be all over the country in the last couple of weeks of the year. But most importantly, I'm going to be in San Antonio working with the top breast cancer doctors in the world. For those of you who don't know this, it is my sweet spot. It is one of my 2 areas that I give back as a thank you. I will be at the San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium, which at first glance might seem like a regional breast cancer conference. But for those of us that are in the front lines of the fight against cancer, we know that the San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium is the world's largest medical oncologist conference for breast cancer and winning the fight against breast cancer. And people come from all over the world. Multiple languages will be spoken. And once a year, we all descend on San Antonio to discover the latest research and treatments and modalities that are getting the best results. And I'll be there working with clients and advising industry and also medical oncologists how to provide better outcomes and to use marketing and storytelling to advance their goals. I just found out that I've been asked to be on the advisory board for the American Society of Breast Surgeons. And as a son and a husband of breast cancer survivors, that industry, excuse me, I don't even call it an industry really. I don't feel like it's an industry. That group of people stood up and helped me get my wife and my stepmom to a, well, to a the place where we are now, survivors living healthy lives. And I'm so grateful for it. And then there is the biggest board opportunity of my career, doing something for the federal government. I've been asked, I can't reveal it yet, but they're doing a full thorough background check on me. And this would be something that would be an appointment from a congressional appointment. I'm really honored about it. In fact, I've been told if my background check goes through, I will be the only non-MD on the board featuring the top cancer experts in the entire country. Because somebody's got to help them take their ideas that they've come together as a panel to advise physicians all over the U.S. in the fight against cancer and help them create the strategy that they're going to then take out there to exponentially create awareness, to help patients and to get better outcomes. And I don't think I'd be more honored to do that. I think that would just be the biggest honor of my life to be able to do that, to help other people. So more information coming, a lot of really cool things developing for the team here at Wirebuzz. And if any of you want to discuss video marketing and how to use stories and video and move people through buyer's journeys, join us in the Facebook group, the Wirebuzz Insider Community, where video marketers from all over the world share their latest tricks and tactics. And you'll regularly find me there sharing my latest information with everybody that's in the Insider Community on Facebook, Wirebuzz Insider Community. Just search it up, ask to join. We will let you in. And we look forward to learning from you too. So on behalf of the team here at Wirebuzz, I wish you a very happy holiday with your family. Continue prosperity into the new year. Finish this year strong, but get yourself ready because 2020 is going to be one amazing year for video marketing. Peace.